Well, I appreciate that song. And I certainly feel the need of the Lord. I was thinking as I was listening to that song, it was talking about how we need the Lord to hold our hand. Now, can you get a picture of this? The Lord that can hold the whole world in His hand, holding our little hand. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it fits the smallest child's hand. That hand that is so big that can take everything in one hand can reach down to you and I, and it fits our hand perfectly. I thank the Lord for that. I never thought about that, and I was thinking, wow. You know, I've shaken hands with people sometimes and they got big hands and my hand just seems like it's just lost there. And I thought, you know, I've never felt that with the Lord. Every time the Lord comes down and He begins to work with me, I feel such a personal God. And everything that He provides for me is personal to me. And I thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate it. I want to say this morning that we have thoroughly enjoyed and appreciated the opportunity to be here with you in this meeting. We thank you for your love and your hospitality. Thank you most of all for your prayers. We felt that in this meeting and we appreciate it. And we desire the Lord that He would bless each one of you individually and collectively as a congregation here and others that from other congregations, that the Lord would bless and guide you, and that as you allow Him to lead you, that you'll feel that hand of the Lord leading you all along the way. You know, I believe that's the desire that the Lord has for every one of us, is that real closeness with Him. And I desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of the Lord, that the Lord would help us to be able to bring out what He has laid on our heart. If you've been here in some of the other services, then you know that the burden that the Lord has given us for this meeting has been our need of God. And specifically our need of His Spirit to guide us and direct us in every detail of our lives. We've talked about that. We've talked about how that what happens if we don't allow Him to. Last night we heard how that the Lord is able to take those things that the enemy twists and tangles in our life when we fail to allow the Lord to lead us as we should. This morning seemed like I felt impressed to the Lord to share with us the wonderful plan that God has for those that will allow Him to lead them and guide them. And to do that, I would like to look at a scripture over here in Genesis, the 45th chapter. Very familiar passage of scripture, the story of Joseph. Genesis, the 45th chapter, and probably these first 15 verses, I'm sure I'm not going to get through all of these this morning. But as we read this, I want us to notice how that God puts such forethought and planning into everything that happened. Dear ones, this wasn't something that just happened by chance. It wasn't something that just happened and all of a sudden the Lord's like, oh, now what am I going to do? God planned it long in advance. And so as we look at this, I want us to notice this. But I want us also to notice something, dear ones, that this wasn't just about Joseph. It wasn't just about the Israelites. The plan that God had reached all the way down to you and I this morning. And dear ones, when you look at this, God used the story of Joseph, the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt, to portray to you and I the wonderful plan of salvation. And dear ones, I believe it's important for us to be reminded of these things, because this not only causes us to be mindful of how faithful God was to them, but it should also cause you and I to know that God is just as faithful to you and I today. And it should also cause us to recognize that the dealings of the Lord in our lives is not just about us. It impacts those around us. It impacts our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our co-workers. And dear ones, the dealings of God in our lives impact further generations just like it did here. If you and I fail to allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead us and guide us in all the details of our lives, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's going to have far-reaching implications. Lord, help us. And last of all, if we can get time this morning, I'd like for us to notice how that Israel, after all that God had done, after all that He had planned, all the way from way back before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right down through Joseph, after all that He did to bring about this wonderful plan, how they made some choices and decisions that what? Remember? That led to actions, which led to a sequence of events that led in a direction that ultimately brought about their destruction. Why? Because as we said the first night, the way of man is not in himself. Remember the definition. I want to read it to you again, because I really want us to remember this. The definition of way is course. As a series of actions or sequence of events leading in a direction or toward an objective. Dear ones, if you don't remember anything else from this meeting, I hope and pray that God will impress it upon our minds and remind us once again that both God and Satan have an objective for each one of our lives. And dear ones, each of them independently are doing everything within their power and ability to influence and to cause you and I to make choices and decisions that will lead us in a way that they would have us, that they would want us to go. And I'm going to tell you, those ways are opposed. Each of them are doing everything within their power short of crossing your will to influence you and I to make choices and decisions that will lead us in that way, that will lead to actions, that will lead to that sequence of events, that will lead us in a direction that that they would have us to go. And dear ones, while that choice is totally up to each one of us here this morning, each and every one of us have the right, just as the prodigal son, as we talked about, had. Each of us have the right to make the choices and decisions in our life that we want to make. That's left up to us. Nobody else can make you. And you say, well, so and so. I'm going to tell you, when it comes right down to it, it's your choice. It's my choice. And while the Lord has given us that right and that ability to make that choice, remember, dear ones, once we make that choice, the way of man is not in himself. When I make that choice, it's going to lead me in a direction that's going to take me based on that choice. And dear ones, if we fail to remember the lessons, the mistakes that Israel made, you and I will also find ourselves falling in the same trap that they did. And we'll mess out on this wonderful plan that God has. Let's read. You know the story of Joseph. And so I'm going to start here in the 45th chapter. You know how that as a boy he had dreams and he had the coat of many colors and all those things that happened and how his brothers were jealous and sold him off into Egypt and all these things. But now we're starting at the point where Joseph begins to reveal himself to his brothers. And in Genesis 45:1, it says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brother. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled by his presence. And Joseph said unto his brothers, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. I've always loved the story of Joseph. From a child, when I'd hear it, Mom would read it in family worship. I've loved the story of Joseph. Perhaps because it illustrates so well the providence of God in the lives of His children. And dear ones, I firmly believe that God caused this to be recorded in the Scriptures just like He did everything else that He had to be recorded. Because He has some special things for you and I today. This was not just something way back there. God recorded it because it's pertinent to you and I today. When you look at this, it illustrates so well the protectiveness and the protective hand of God upon His people. It illustrates so well, dear ones, when you look at this, how He prepares long in advance for every detail of our lives. I want you to think about this. It's important that we get a hold of it. He prepares long in advance for every detail of our lives. And dear ones, I believe the Lord wants you and I to know that He is in control. Things don't just happen. Do you know sometimes you and I, we can face a calamity or we can face something and we can look and say, oh. You know, we get like the disciples, don't we? Do you know what they did when they were out there on the sea and it was storming and they come and shook Jesus and woke Him up and said, "Carest thou not that we perish? Lord, wake up! There's a storm here." Do you know, dear ones, I'm persuaded that that storm didn't slip in on Jesus while He was asleep. He knew all about it long before it happened. In fact, I am persuaded that the Lord planned the trip just when He did because He knew what was going to happen and He wanted His disciples to see the mighty power of God. And what did He do when He got up? He said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sometimes we get to looking at the things that happen in our lives and we begin to wonder, "Lord, do you know what's happening?" And I can almost hear the Lord saying sometimes, just like He did Job. "Job, where was you when I formed the whirlwind?" Do you know, you put it in our language today, I can almost hear the Lord saying, "I've got this. You know, don't worry about this. I know all about it. Job, before you were ever born, I created the whirlwind. I knew all about this." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, those whirlwinds that come through your life, God knows all about them. He knows about them before you do. And He has planned long in advance for every detail of our lives. It illustrates, when you look at this story of Joseph, dear ones, it illustrates so well the wisdom of God and how He knows just who to choose and what to use to fulfill His mighty plan. Have you ever, as you thought about the story of Joseph, thought how that coat of many colors essentially saved the Israelites, the Egyptians, and all the countries round about them? You think about this. It saved Joseph's brothers. Now, the coat of many colors was a source of irritation to his brothers. In fact, it made them so jealous that they intended to kill him. But God turned it for good, did He not? Not only for Joseph, but for his brothers. Now you say, wait a minute. God took the thing that was a source of irritation to them and He used it to save them? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God is able to take the things that are sources of irritation in our lives. And He is able to take those things and turn them for our good if you and I will allow Him to. He is able to take the things that are reverses, that are disappointments, that are heartaches, that are things that we just like, "Lord, I don't understand this." You probably heard me tell of my experience as a young man, but when I was there at home and it was a very depressed economic condition and I went down to the unemployment office time after time, just finding a job at McDonald's. That's how you had to go. You couldn't go there. You had to go to the unemployment office. That's how bad it was. And when I tried to get that job at that Kroger food store, and I went there and it was because of my convictions that I couldn't get that job. They wanted me to wear something that I didn't feel like I could. And I remember praying and looking to the Lord, Lord, I know you can work this out. And sure enough, he didn't. And I'm going to tell you, I was disappointed. I was there. I was like, Lord, I know you could have done this. You know, I know the devil would have liked to have taken and caused that me to turn down that other way.
That's right.
And to be able to look at that and say, the Lord just didn't answer prayer. But you know what? I love the Lord and I'm thankful for that. And I didn't. But you know, as I look back on my life, I find that the very thing that I wanted so much was the very thing that God saw I didn't need. You know why? Because remember, He plans long in advance, dear ones. And the next step in my life was He knew that I needed to go to some training before I could go to the next step that He had. And if I'd taken that job, I couldn't have done that. And I look back at that and I think, oh my. Had I taken, and I had taken that job and I'd overrode my convictions and said, I'm going to get it. I shudder sometimes to think where I'd be at today. I'd probably be back there in Kentucky somewhere and my life would be totally different. But dear ones, God had a plan. And He didn't let me have what I wanted because He saw the next step, and then that next step led to the next step that He knew He was going to pick me up and move me to where I was. I live in Oklahoma. And you know why He wanted me there? He had a companion for me there. And you know why else why? He had a work for me. And I look at those things and I look back and I think, what would have I traded all of these things for a job at Kroger? Now, if you work at Kroger, there's nothing wrong with that, dear ones. But I'm just going to tell you, I've looked at that and I thought, Lord, what would have happened had I overrode your will and not listened to the leadings of the Lord in my life? How different my life would have been. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I'm persuaded this morning that there's going to be a lot of people in eternity that's going to take and they're going to stop and they're going to look and say, I traded all of that. And they're going to see all the things that the Lord had in their lives and they had planned out. And they're going to say, Lord, you were going to do this and you were going to do that. And I traded it for this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is why it is so important for you and I to follow the leadings of the Lord in our lives. I think about how God used the things that Joseph here encountered in his life. They were things, dear ones, that were hard things. You look at this. The conflicts with his brother. You say, conflicts with your brother is never good, and it's not. But I'm going to tell you what. It was in the plan of God for Joseph's life. You say, God caused his brothers? No, he didn't cause it. But he used what they did. And it was in the plan for Joseph's life and for his brothers. Even when you go on to the next step of being sold as a slave, don't you know, dear ones, that'd be a hard thing to experience? It'd be hard. But that was part of the plan, of God's plan for Joseph's life. Including the next step of going to jail. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's going to be the same way in your life and mine. You say, Brother Curtis, I don't want those things. That's not what I want. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's part of learning to allow the Lord to lead you by His Spirit.
Yes.
Is being willing to go all the way with God, regardless of where He leads or what it costs you.
Yes.
You can say, no, that's not what I want to do. I want to go to heaven, and Lord, I'll meet you in heaven, but I want to go around this way. You know, that'd be like me asking Brother Brooks, what's the way to get to Mornark? And he said, well, you just go right down here to the end of this drive and you turn left and you go right. And then when you get down there, you just kind of bear the left. You can't miss it. But no, I don't like making left turns. Brother Butch, I want to go right. Well, Brother Curtis, that leads to Neosho and Diamond and these other places. Are you telling me that I can't get there from that? Well, no. It's possible. You could go and you could go around. But I'm going to tell you, there's a dangerous intersection there, and there's a dangerous intersection over there. And when you get down there, you're still going to have to go to the left. You see what I'm saying, dear ones? Sometimes, dear ones, we take and we say, Lord, no, I don't want that. And the Lord's saying, the way of the Lord is right. It's best. It's the shortest way. It's the best way. And you might make it these other ways, dear ones. But I'm going to tell you, you're still going to have to come back to the Lord's way. And it's going to cost you heartache and trouble all along the way. There's things out there that you wouldn't have to experience if you just take the Lord's way. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's a lot of people today in our world that are going through things, that are suffering things that God never intended for them to bear. And it's because they took a way that seemed right to man, but it led to destruction. I look at this, dear ones, and I find in this story of Joseph where God has taken and He has shown His divine providence in the lives of His children. Dear ones, God's in control. And I want you to know this morning that if you and I are willing to allow the Lord to lead us and guide us all along the way, we don't have to worry, because there is nothing that will touch our lives without His knowledge or His permission. I want you to think about this. There is nothing, dear ones, that can touch our lives without His knowledge and His permission. And if God permits it, who are we to question the wisdom of God? I want you to remember something. Remember what I said about Joseph? This wasn't just about Joseph. Dear ones, the plan of God is much bigger than you and I. And when the Lord permits something in our lives, it's not just about us. God's got something of a greater and a bigger picture that He is working out. Let's notice what Joseph said here. Joseph said in this fifth verse, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth, and to save your lives, and by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Joseph recognized the hand of God in the things that his brothers did to him, in the things that happened to him in Potiphar's house, and all the other things that happened. Joseph recognized the hand of God working through those things to bring him to the place that God could use him. Now, I'm sure that there were times in the heat of it when he was being sold off to those people as a slave, when he was being falsely accused, when he was being cast into prison, when those that he had pleaded with to remember him forgot all about him. I'm sure there was time after time, dear ones, that Joseph, just like you and I, didn't understand it. Lord, why is all this happening? Lord, you see these things. But dear ones, God had a plan for Joseph's life. It wasn't just for Joseph's life. It was for his family. It was for the Egyptians. It was for all the countries round about there. Now, I want you to think about this for just a little bit. Have you ever thought about all the people that would have perished from that family, from that famine? Hunger, thirst. Had God not prepared a way of escape for them? Dear ones, it would not have just been Joseph and his family. It would have been the Egyptians. It would have been all of those around them. All those countries that would have been impacted had God not prepared a way of escape. Now, do you see why I said this is not just about Joseph? Did Joseph learn some things through the things that he went through? Sure he did. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this was bigger than Joseph. Notice what he said here in the sixth verse. Joseph said to his brothers, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest." Dear ones, it was a terrible drought. Now, we've had some dry spells in Oklahoma. Out western Oklahoma, they've had a lot worse dry spells. They've had some rain. But there's been fires. There's been all kinds of things that's been devastating out there. But I want you to think of how it would be if it was 7 years of drought. I wonder what the global warming people would think if they had been there in Joseph's time. I wonder what they'd think if God right now allowed 7 year famine. Do you know there is efforts in our world today to do everything within their power to prove that everything is a result of man? There's a reason for that. Because anything else conflicts with their theory of evolution and the fact that there's not a God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, people are focused on things like global warming destroying our world. As the folks at home know, I've told them different times, it's a red herring. The enemy's got them over here looking at what's going to destroy our nation and our world. And all the time, sin is what the Bible said is going to destroy this world. But let's get back to our story. Let's notice what he said. I want to look here in the 45th, first chapter in the 25th verse. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Can you see the faithfulness of God here? Dear ones, this was not a quirk of nature. It was not something that just happened. It was not just a string of bad luck. God had his hand in this thing. And it was planned long before Joseph's time. If you go back into the scriptures, and I won't have time to do all that this morning, you'll find where God told Abraham about some of these things that was going to happen. When you look at this, God had a plan in that. But before, he has a plan in our lives. And before I go there, I want us to notice some other things about this. It said here that he had showed Pharaoh. He showed Pharaoh what was going to happen in advance. Now, dear ones, you remember the other night how I mentioned that many times the Lord likes to take and deal with us through the little details of our lives as working out on the job or we're out fishing or we're doing something else. If we're allowing the Lord to lead us in every part of our life, the Lord will take and begin to reveal precious truths to our heart. He'll give us instructions. He'll give us something that will help us to know the mind of God, that when you and I get into those places, the Lord can bring those back. Now you look at this in Pharaoh, and it said that he has showed thee, Pharaoh, what the Lord is going to do. The Lord was faithful to Pharaoh and he showed him in advance what was going to happen. And dear ones, I'm afraid sometimes that the reason that people do not get answers to their prayers when they're in the midst of their battles. I want you to understand me now. I'm afraid that the reason that people do not get answers to prayers when they're in the midst, in the heat of the battle, and they're calling on God, and he's silent. It's many times because he tried to show them before that, along the way. But they didn't have time to allow the Lord to lead them in those little details of their life. And the Lord is sitting there thinking, I tried, and I tried, and I tried to give you the answer before this ever happened. But you didn't have time for me. And so in the midst of the battle, and they're crying out to God, Lord, I need some wisdom. I need something here. And the Lord is silent. This is why, dear ones, we need to depend upon the Spirit of the Lord to lead us every step of the way. Because the Lord is wanting to give us something before we get to those times in our lives. And I look at this, and dear ones, I believe the Lord wants you and I to know that he doesn't want to just be a 911 center. You understand what I'm saying? When I get in trouble, I get down and I call on the Lord. I want to ask you, how many of you have a personal relationship with your 911 operator? Do you know who they are? Probably, unless they're a neighbor or a friend or something, you probably don't, do you? We only call that number when there's an emergency. Do you know that's exactly the way many people in our world are doing? I've heard people say, I've got a hotline to heaven. And yes, dear ones, he is a very present help in time of need. But what I want us to understand this morning God does not want that type of relationship. He wants you and I to be led of His Spirit every step of our way. And so He wants to lead us and guide us step by step along the way. May the Lord help us, dear ones, to understand how desperately we need the Spirit of God to guide us. It says here in this 25th verse, Joseph said of the 41st chapter, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and the ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, He has showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land, by reason of the famine falling, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Can you see the mercies of God in His dealings with Pharaoh? When you look at this, dear ones, all I can say is truly it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God not only took and provided and gave them warning, but He prepared long in advance a way of escape for these people from the awful destruction that was most certainly going to come their way. And dear ones, I want you to remember, God also has prepared a way of escape for you and I that was prepared long in advance. Long in advance for you and I. And I look at this. Joseph told Pharaoh here, he said that the Lord was going to send 7 years of plenty. And you know what he did? He urged him to prepare. Dear ones, I don't know what's ahead of you. I don't know what's ahead of me. I didn't know when I came here why the Lord laid these burdens of our desperate need of the Spirit of God to guide us so heavily on my heart. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord is preparing you and I. And I want to urge you, like Joseph did, to allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead you in every detail of your lives. I want to plead with you this morning that you take and listen to the leadings of the Lord in your life. I don't know what's ahead, but I'm going to tell you, God does. Because He's planning long in advance. And He knows the things that the enemy has also put in your life and my life to distract us, to get us to go that other way. And the Lord in His faithfulness took, and He has begun to warn us of our need of the Spirit of God to guide us. I want to look on in this 33rd verse. It says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And the food shall be for the store in the land against the 7 years. And shall be in the land, years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt. And the land, that the land shall perish not through the famine. I look at this. And when I see this faithfulness of God to Pharaoh, you know what I was thinking when I was reading this? I thought, what if after all that God had done, all the preparations that He had made, just even from Abraham's time, but it went before that, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, after all the preparations that God had set in order, what if Pharaoh and the Egyptians had taken and just shredded off those dreams. You know, it's just a dream. Do you know it said the Lord, He doubled it because of the importance? Do you know the Lord doesn't just come by, dear ones, and knock on our heart's door? He doesn't just come by and deal with us and say, "No, nope, not going to let you in," and He just goes His way. The Lord loves us just as much as He did then. And He'll come by again and He'll knock. I don't know how many times He'll knock, but the Lord, because of the urgency of the need of our souls, the Lord will be faithful to us. And He'll come by. I'm going to tell you, when I look at that, all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for your love. I'm thankful, dear ones, that when God dealt with my heart, that He didn't just come by once. I'm thankful, dear ones, that when He took and He came by and He began to correct me and He began to chastise me and I didn't listen, that He didn't just say, all right, that's it. You've had your chance. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Lord loves you this morning. He cares for you just as much as He did here. And I look at this. What if Pharaoh had taken and the Egyptian and said, you know what, we're not going to listen to this man. You know, Joseph was not one of the learned men of the professors of that time. He was not even an Egyptian. He was a Canaanite. And they didn't think much about them. Can you imagine? Look at this. Not only was he not an Egyptian, was he not one of the royalty in the land that would come to Pharaoh and give him this wisdom? He was a servant, a slave, a prisoner to boot. I'm going to say, dear ones, how low can you get? Why would anyone listen to something like that? In fact, why would God take and even use that avenue to get to Pharaoh? Do you ever think that perhaps it was because that was the only avenue that was left open? Now think about this. Every other place, had Joseph just marched in there and said, Pharaoh, I've got something from the Lord. What do you think they'd have done? They'd have pitched him out on his ear. We're not going to listen to you, Canaanites. Do you know there's a lot of people in our world today that have closed off every other avenue for the Lord to work in our lives? Do you see what, dear ones? When I look at this in Joseph, in this story of Joseph, what happened here was perhaps every other avenue was closed. And so the Lord brought Joseph through a place. Low place. Hard place. Because he wanted to get the message to Pharaoh. Do you see why I said earlier that this is not just about Joseph? Dear ones, what I want you to understand is there's a lot of people in our world today who have closed off these avenues for the Lord to deal with. Sports and entertainment and all these other things, and their lives are so full. And it seems like the Lord cannot hardly even talk to them. And you know what He does? Sometimes He allows one of His children to go through something that gets their attention. Now think about this. You said, no, but now remember, I don't want those things. I want to follow the Lord and I want to make it to heaven, but Lord, I don't want those things. Those are hard things. And the Lord allows one of His children to go through something. You ever heard the saying been pulled through a bunghole? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sometimes the Lord will take and pull you through some tight places. And His whole purpose is because that may be the only avenue that He can work. It's not just about us, dear ones. It's about the work of God. And I look at this, and I look at Pharaoh, and I look at Joseph. Do you know, dear ones, God chose Joseph for a purpose. He had a message to convey to Pharaoh. As Sister Lizzie Jordan used to say, God is a way maker. You want to get help to some soul? You get down on your knees and you begin to pray. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord's got a way of getting to them. You got loved ones that are in trouble and getting away from the Lord? Lord, help us. God's got a way of getting us down. And He can take us through some things. And there's prices to pay. But I'm going to tell you, God has a way of getting to them when no one else can. After all that He did, And I look at this, and I think about this wonderful plan that God had to make a way of escape for the Egyptians, for the Israelites, and for those around there. What do you think if they had taken and just said, you know what, I don't pay any attention to that. And then when the 7 years of plenty came and they were just partying and prospering and just like, man, we're doing good. The Lord's really blessing us. And then about the time that the famine came, they began to cry out, what's going on? And y'all call on your gods. And is there anybody here? Do you know what would have been happening? It would have been too late, wouldn't it? Because the 7 years of plenty were gone. Lord, have mercy upon us this morning, dear ones. I said, I don't know what's ahead of us. And you don't know either. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I believe the Lord is preparing our hearts for things ahead. And dear ones, I'm afraid that there's many in our world today that have ignored the warnings of the Lord to prepare to meet the Lord. And as a result of that, what has happened is they're going on and as they're prospering and they're thinking everything is going well. And when tragedy strikes and they begin to cry out to God, Lord, have mercy. And the Lord's saying, I was trying to show you over here. I would have saved you all that heartache. I'd have saved you all that trouble. But you determined that you had to go that way to get the monarch. And you got in that accident over there. And this happened over there. And I tried to save you. The way of the Lord, dear ones, is right. It's a perfect way. And that clock's rolling. Well, Jeremy told me not to pay attention to the clock, but I understand. Dear ones, I want you to know something. When I say that it's not just about us, and that God plans long in advance, dear ones, He goes to great efforts to work. Now I want you to think about Israel. And I want you to think about why God even did what He did. When He chose Abraham and He said, I want you to take and get up from your kindred and go over here. Do you know God had a plan for Israel? But dear ones, God is also a just and a faithful God. And what He did was He plucked Abraham up over here and He put him in the midst of a sinful people. These were wicked, evil people that served heathen gods. And God picked up one of His children, a faithful man of God that loved Him and served Him, a man of faith, and He set him right down in their midst. Why? I believe with all my heart, dear ones, is because God wanted to use Abraham to show these people that He knew He was about to destroy the direction that they were going. He wanted to show them the way that they needed to repent and turn to Him. You remember the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Where were they at? They were in this place, were they not? Don't you know, dear ones, that when God destroyed that wickedness, it sent terror through those people in that land? But God had taken and set one of His servants right in the midst of them. And then He took and He plucked them up and He moved them off. You say, why did God do that? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sometimes the Lord will put special people in our lives to show us something special. And then God will remove that special person. And He'll leave it to us to make the choice, just like He did to the Canaanites and the Amorites. What are you going to do with this? I've given you an example. Now what are you going to do? You see, God not only had a plan for Israel, but He was a faithful and just God to those souls. You know something, dear ones? Sometimes, if you and I are faithful to follow the Lord, you and I may be that special person that God picks up and He puts over here in an area that we're saying, Lord, why did you put me here? Remember, it's not just about us. It's about the plan of God. And then God will pick us up again and He moves us over here and you say, Lord, what is this? Now I want you to think about this. Think about Israel. Think about where God put them over there. That was the land of Canaan. A land that flowed with milk and honey. And dear ones, it was well suited for the Israelites' occupation. Can you imagine how hard it would have been to have gotten them, all their families, to get to come to a decision and move them to Egypt? I'm not going there. Dad, you can go, but I'm not going. Me and my wife and children, we're staying right here. Have you ever tried to get your family together to take a photo? I'm going to tell you, it's difficult sometimes. Do you see what I'm saying? Can you imagine taking and saying, okay, family, we're all going to take and we're going to now go over to Egypt. They're going to say, man, Dad's really lost it. There ain't no way I'm going over there. But I'm going to tell you what, dear ones, God has a way of causing His people to be in the place that He wants them to be in. I want you to think about this. Sometimes the Lord allows things in our lives to move us to the place that He wants us to be in. Physically and spiritually. And dear ones, that's what God did. And He moved them over there. You see what I'm talking about when I say the plan of God was long in advance. Dear ones, I hope and pray this morning that you will recognize that God's plan in your life is a long-term plan. And that when you face things, that you not take and allow the enemy to cause you to look at those things and say, Lord, now I'm going a different way. Because I will tell you, the choice is yours. But when you make that choice, remember, it leads to actions, a series of events that leads to an objective. And you remember what I said? God and Satan both have an objective. And dear ones, all along the path of life, you and I are going to face things, good and bad. And those things are designed to either point us in this direction or that direction. The enemy will use those things to cause us to turn back and go another way. The Lord will use those things to make them stepping stones for us if we'll allow Him to. You know, the Lord is able to take things. I told you about some things in this meeting already in my life. Failures. Blunders. Places where I failed to just follow the leadings of the Lord like I should have. But you know what I found? That if you and I will humble ourselves and turn and follow the Lord can take our failures and make them a blessing. He has a plan in every one of our lives, in everything that happens, dear ones. Those brothers of Joseph intended to do harm to him. He was wrong. But I'm going to tell you, God used that to save their souls. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you may have made some blunders along the way. You may have made some failures. You may have loved ones that have. But I'm going to tell you, God has a plan to turn those things and use them for your good if you'll only allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead you every step of the way. Lord, help us. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, and I don't have time to go through this, but you study out what happened and the plan that God had with Israel. And you will find that the story of Joseph, the exodus of the Israelites to leave out of Egypt, all represented this wonderful plan that God has of salvation. When you think about Joseph warning to Pharaoh of the impending judgment and the destruction that is coming and his urging of them to prepare, is that not what the gospel message is all about? When you look at Israel and how, when they left out of Egypt's bondage, it's a type of that first work of grace and salvation. And when they crossed the Red Sea, it represented the impossibility of you and I to ever escape the bondage of sin. But dear ones, because of His love, God made a way through His Son. When they got across the Red Sea and the children of Israel were facing all those little trials and battles, you know what they represented? They represented the battles and trials that you and I, as newborn Christians and converts, will face soon after we're saved. And you know what those are for? They're designed for two purposes. One, the enemy uses them to cause us to want to turn back to Egypt. You see what I'm saying? But the Lord wants to use them to teach us to learn our dependence upon God. And to learn how to follow Him and to allow Him to lead us. Because, Lord, you see all He's saying. Young people, I want to challenge you this morning. You're going to face things in your life. Don't allow those things to cause you to turn back. But instead, allow those things to teach you to learn to follow the leadings of the Lord in your life. You know what the wilderness represented? It represented those that failed to go all the way with the Lord and look back to Egypt. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God never intended for Israel to wander in the wilderness, and He never intends you and I to wander in the wilderness either. He never intended for you and I to fight our own battles and to be out there in those places where we're just living just barely on manna and all of those things. Dear ones, God has something greater for you and I. And that's what crossing the Jordan River and going into the Canaan land, that second work of grace, where we can take and have what God intended for us to have. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a place where it flowed with milk and honey. It was a place, dear ones, where God provided for them things that they didn't have to provide for themselves. And this is the place, dear one, that God wants every one of us to be. Where He can take this ground. You know, when they were out there wandering and they were fighting battles and different things, they weren't fighting for their own land because that land didn't belong to them. God hadn't given it to them. God doesn't want you and I fighting carnal battles out there for things that don't belong to us. But I'm going to tell you, He's got some spiritual ground for you and I that He wants you and I to gain. And He wants you and I to take and say, this is my ground, Satan.
Yes.
I can fight. I can defend this because this is mine.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God's got some things for each and every one of us this morning. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take conquering some giants.
That's right.
You and I will never be able to take and have the fullness of what God has for us unless we conquer those giants. And I've got to quit. Dear ones, what's going to happen is the enemy's going to come along just like he did with Israel. And he's going to try to get you to make some leagues with some things. Some attitudes. Some things like we've talked about in this meeting. Some little things that's just like, oh, that's not a big deal. You remember the Gideonites? No big deal. You remember what happened when Israel was strong and they made leagues with these people that God said, don't do it? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the way to victory, the way to be able to have what God has for us is I can't make a league with that.
That's right.
When the enemy brings things and I begin to make allowances and I mean to make leagues for that, I'm going to tell you, it'll sap your power. And you'll find yourself back going back to Egypt. And that's exactly what the devil wants. But if you'll conquer those things in your life, when the Lord comes by and He knocks on your heart's door and He says, be careful there. Better not go there. Better not do that. If we'll follow the leadings of the Lord, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you and I can do like Joshua and Caleb. Give me that mountain. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God's got something for us that we can take and say, do you know what? I went through this battle. And this is what God did for me. And I'm going to tell you, you know what it does? It'll make you strong. Because as I went through that, and the Lord came down and manifested Himself to me, and this was mine. And every time that I face another giant, I point back and say, no, there's the corner of my land. The Lord gave this to me. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me, and I'm going to keep on going. Dear ones, my hope and prayer for you this morning is that God will lead you and guide you every step of the way. Because that's the only way that any one of us are going to make it. And I want to challenge you this morning. And I want to encourage you. I want to urge you. If there are things in your life that you know, Lord, I just haven't conquered that giant. Lord, I haven't won that battle. Lord, I've been tempted to look back and think, Lord, that's a better way. I want to encourage you to this morning to bring it, like I said, to the Lord. Leave it with the Lord and let God fight your battles. To go all the way with God and to ask Him, Lord, I want to have Your Spirit leading me in every step of the way, because I'm going to tell you, that's the place of victory. If you don't, what will happen is you'll fall into the same trap that Israel did. Where the enemy will come in, he'll convince you to either make a choice to go a different direction, to make a league with the enemy, or to do something else. And every one of those things, dear ones, is designed. Do you know what Jesus told us? He said, he told us the objective of God and Satan. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Every choice that he tries to get you to make is to take you in that direction. But he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. My burden this morning is that you recognize there's two objectives for our lives. And there's two very, very powerful forces that is doing everything within their power to encourage, to motivate, to try to inspire us to take their way. As Moses said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose this. Dear ones, it's the best way. The way of the Lord is right. Appreciate your attention. Desire your prayers in my own life.